Good evening. Again, one more time. Good evening. Are you so blessed coming to CCF? Well, tell your neighbor, I am blessed coming to CCF. Okay, who is here for the first time? Just raise your hand a little bit lang. We have so many first timers. Wow! You see, we'd like to welcome you. We've got a fantastic room right outside this place. The fifth floor mini theater. After the worship service, why don't you go there, all the first timers? We'd like to welcome you properly. We, just as a come on, we have some snacks. Okay ba yon? Oh, nothing fantastic. Just some snacks. We have, coffee, no tea, coffee, yes, and some biscuits and juice. Is that okay? Oh, pwede na yon. So will you go to the mini theater so we can welcome you, all those here for the first time? Is that okay? Sige, ha? You will go. I'll see you there later, huh? Okay. So, anyway. So, tonight, did you see anything, new in our, I don't think it's new, but did you see the commercial on the retreat? The campus retreats? Those are fantastic retreats. Now, the campus retreats will be coming up very soon. I would advise you, I'd encourage you, if you are still in school, please attend the campus retreats. Because that's going to really change your life as you grow in your faith in the Lord. So tonight we will be continuing with our study, our messages on the book of Habakkuk. So if you have your Bibles, will you please open your Bibles? Okay. If you don't have a Bible, maybe you could share your Bible with the one seated next to you. If you don't have anyone seated next to you, maybe it's going to be on the screen. We shall pray that the Lord will bring it up on the screen. Okay. Anyway, can we all stand and read Habakkuk chapter 2? We'll read the entire chapter, so we'll do this a little bit faster. So you're opening the Bibles right now? Okay, let's read. Chapter 2, verse 1. I will stand on my guard post and station myself on the rampart, and I will keep watch to see what he will speak to me and how I may reply when I am reproved. Then the Lord answered me and said, record the vision and inscribe it on tablets that the one who reads it may run. For the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hastens toward the goal and it will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it will certainly come. It will not delay. Behold, as for the proud one, his soul is not right within him, but the righteous will live by his faith. Furthermore, wine betrays the haughty man so that he does not stay at home. He enlarges his appetite like Sheol, and he is like death, never satisfied. He also gathers to himself all nations and collects to himself all peoples. Will not all of these take up a taunt song against him, even mockery and insinuations against him, and say, woe to him who increases what is not his, for how long, and makes himself rich with loans? Will not your creditors rise up suddenly, and those who collect from you awaken? Indeed, you will become plunder for them. Because you have looted many nations, all the remainder of the peoples will loot you because of human bloodshed and violence done to the land, to the town and all its inhabitants. Verse 9. Woe to him who gets evil gain for his house, to put his nest on high, to be delivered from the hand of calamity. You have devised a shameful thing for your house by cutting off many peoples, so you are sinning against yourself. Surely the stone will cry out from the wall, and the rafter will answer it from the framework. Woe to him who builds a city with bloodshed and founds a town with violence. It is not indeed from the Lord of hosts that peoples toil for fire, and nations grow weary for nothing. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Verse 15, woe to you who make your neighbors drink, who mix in your venom, even to make them drunk, so as to look on their nakedness. You will be filled with disgrace rather than honor. Now you yourself drink and expose your own nakedness. The cup in the Lord's right hand will come around to you, and utter disgrace will come upon your glory. For the violence done to Lebanon will overwhelm you, and the devastation of its beasts by which you terrified them because of human bloodshed and violence done to the land, to the town, and all its inhabitants. Verse 18, what profit is the idol when its maker has carved, or an image a teacher of falsehood? For its maker trusts in his own handiwork. When he fashions speechless idols, woe to him who says to the piece of wood, awake, to a dumb stone, arise, and that is your teacher? Behold, it is overlaid with gold and silver, and there is no breath at all inside it. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. May the Lord add blessings to the reading of his word. Heavenly Father, Lord God, indeed this is a wonderful evening. Thank you for bringing us, gathering us together here tonight to listen, Lord, to your word. Lord, will you bless us with your word? Will you be glorified? And Lord, as we listen to your word that will be delivered by Pastor Peter, may we run with that word and implement that in our lives. Lord, we just pray for the remainder of this worship service. We pray, Lord God, for Pastor Peter as he will be delivering the message this evening. Empower with your spirit that, Lord, whatever he says will be your word and not his. And also, I'd like to pray for our brother Audie as he delivers his testimony this evening, Lord God, that, Lord God, you will be glorified in what he will be saying. Thank you so much for this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. So, please be seated. You know, we are so blessed to have a brother of ours to share what the Lord has been doing in his life. I want you to listen closely to his testimony, because this is indeed life-changing. And when I heard this testimony, it really had a great impact on my life. Why don't we call him Brother Audie? Audie Riantaso.
Good evening. I am Audie Riantaso, 32 years old, and married to my lovely wife, Carla. I am an engineer by profession and the son-in-law of Pastor Ito De Jesus. In March of last year, barely 4 months after our wedding, I got the saddest news of my life. I was diagnosed with stage 4 germ cell cancer and was given 3 to 6 months to live. It was a rare type of cancer that was invasive and resistant to chemo. My scans were shown to one of the best surgeons in the country, and he said the tumor was so big, it could not be removed. It compressed the major arteries of my heart and lungs. In a desperate move, my parents sent my results and scans to Mayo Clinic, one of the top hospitals in the States. My wife and I were willing to go there, but Mayo Clinic said they did not have any treatment available. I won't bore you with the medical details, but in layman's terms, all the odds were against me. I considered myself a dead man walking. I didn't know what to do next. What options did I have? I had stage 4 terminal cancer. This kind of cancer did not respond to chemo. The tumor could not be removed. Should I just go on a vacation with my wife and enjoy my last months with her? Soon after, at dawn watch, I stood here as the CCF elders and the congregation prayed for me. I was overwhelmed and touched. Whenever I remember this scene, this verse in James comes to mind. Is any one of you sick? You should call the elders of the church and pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Soon after, God started answering our prayers. First, my brother found an oncologist who was willing to try chemo, but I was his first case for this kind of cancer. Secondly, my wife and I were so amazed at the big amount of love gifts that came from our families, relatives, CCF, and non-CCF friends. God covered all our medical expenses, and by God's grace, we don't have any debts. Thirdly, God encouraged me after every chemo session. After my first chemo, our Ninang Nena from 700 Club gave us a DVD. It was about 12 documented miracles in the States. One story struck me the most. It was about a doctor who had stage 4 terminal cancer. His body was covered with lymph nodes as large as tennis balls. Doctors gave up on him, but his church prayed for him, and he was completely healed. I was so amazed at God's work that the very next day, I had my tumor count checked, and what happened next was really amazing. After just one chemo cycle, my tumor count drastically dropped by 90%, from 1,500 to just 147. Then my x-ray showed that a huge tumor in my left lung shrank significantly. Then the small tumor in my right lung disappeared. And praise God, after the fourth chemo, my tumor count became normal at 5.21. God is truly amazing. Last November 11, I had to undergo surgery. I was told that the CCF churches in Luzon, Visayas, and Mindanao were praying for me. Also CCFers in the States and Australia. They were texting and calling my parents-in-law to say they were praying for me. Our youngest sister, Astrid, prayed for me at the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem. Mang Nilo, who tries for us, said that his D12 was praying for me. We were all praying for a miracle. CCF is really a loving, praying church. After 7 long hours, amidst my profuse bleeding, the surgeons were able to remove the tumor successfully. They said it was one of the hardest operations they had ever done, and they almost gave up. But by God's grace, they did not. A day before my surgery, God led me to Psalm 41, which says, "The Lord will sustain him on his sickbed and restore him from his bed of illness." I thought God was assuring me that it was going to be a successful surgery. But God meant something much, much better. After my operation, the surgeon said he was convinced that the tumor he removed was malignant. But by God's grace, the tumor tested negative for cancer cells. Yes, from stage 4 terminal cancer, I am now cancer-free. And yes, against all odds, God gave us a miracle. My vocal cords were affected by the cancer. That's why my voice is still hoarse. But it's such a little thing compared to the miracle that God has given us. No words can express how happy and amazed I am with what God has done. I know it was God who healed me. The best doctors in the world cannot heal me if God did not allow to heal me. My deepest thanks to our Lord Jesus Christ. And I also thank God for my lovely wife, Carla, who has sacrificed so much because of this trial. God knew I was going to get sick, so He gave her to me to be my helpmate. Our deepest thanks to our parents and siblings for their love and generosity. And we thank you all, you who help us. Thank you so much for your encouragement, your visits, the flowers and the food you sent, your love gifts, and most of all, your prayers. All praises to Jesus Christ, my true healer. Thank you.
Praise God. Let's give God another clap offering. That's amazing. When Odie first came to us for prayer, I was warned by the doctors that he has only 3 months to live. And I don't want to set people's expectation high. But when he came and asked for the elders to pray for him, I just knew that when doctors tell us it is impossible, that's the time for God to move. So praise God. Nothing's impossible with Him. If you ask me, the Tuesday dawn watch from 6 to 7 is most important time for the church. Because that's the time we pray for the country, that's the time we pray for one another, and that's the time we pray for the church, and that's the time we pray collectively for one another. So if you have not tried coming here, you come 6 o'clock in the morning, 6 to 7, and spend time with the Lord, listen to the Lord. If you can't come, it's okay, you pray at home, but 6 to 7, that's our time together with the Lord. Tonight, I want to continue discussing the book of Habakkuk. You got your Bibles with you, right? Wonderful. May I remind us, this book is very simple. 3 chapters only. The entire theme of the book of Habakkuk is we live by faith. Chapter 1 talks about honest faith. The guy was complaining. He could not understand why God was allowing evil, wickedness to continue. He went through a period of struggle. That's why the word Habakkuk has the idea of wrestling, two hands embracing, wrestling. In chapter 1, he was wrestling with God. And then by the time you hit chapter 3, which we will discuss next Sunday, he was embracing God. In chapter 1, he was complaining. In chapter 3, he was praising God. In chapter 1, he was worried. In chapter 3, he was worshiping God. Now, is it possible that all of us have incidents in our lives where we don't understand and we begin to ask why? Odie, our brother Odie, had such an experience. He got married. 4 months later, the doctor told him, you have stage 4 cancer. Not just cancer, stage 4 cancer. And that cancer is inoperable because it's right between the lungs and the heart and the basic, I'm not a doctor, so I won't dwell in that. So much to say, you just can't operate on it. Now, if you were Odie, what will you say? Will you ask God why? I'm learning. In the Christian life, it's okay to ask God. It's okay to pour out your heart. It's okay to say, Lord, I don't understand. People asked me a question last week. Pastor, is it okay? Is it being spiritual? Is it acceptable to question what's happening in your life? I said, you have countless examples of that in the Bible. You have Habakkuk the prophet. He could not understand. Remember, honest faith means you go to God and you tell Him, Lord, I don't understand. Be honest with Him. I only suggest do it politely, okay? Go to God nicely. But if you want to shout, it's okay. God can take it, all right? And then, by the time you hit chapter 3, something happened. Habakkuk asked God, why do you allow evil? And then God replied, if you think what's happening in Judah is bad, you just wait. I'm going to use the Babylonians to punish Judah. If you think this is bad, it's going to get worse. I'm going to use wicked people to accomplish my purpose. Habakkuk was shocked. Lord, you can do that. You are a holy God. So chapter 2 is the resolution of his problem. How did he resolve the problem? So that by the time you have chapter 3 is a song. It's a psalm. It's a worship song. Are you ready to discuss certain principles? All right. Tonight, I want to share with us expectant faith. Say that with me. Expectant faith. Last Sunday, we talked about honest faith. Today, expectant faith. Next Sunday, we will talk about triumphant faith. What is expectant faith? Well, basically, expectant faith has the following simple outline. You wait on God. Say that with me. Wait on God. It's one thing to wait. It's another thing to wait expectantly. So tell your neighbor, wait expectantly. So why do you wait expectantly? Well, because you trust God's character. Many times, I don't understand why. This Sunday morning, I asked a permission from one of our members to share with us her story. She was going with a guy for 10 years. Serious dating. they were planning to get married. 1 week before she was to give the deposit, something happened. She was asked to sign a piece of paper. It has to do with religious issue in this country. Because of her faith in Jesus, she said, I cannot sign this piece of paper. The husband-to-be said, my family is very angry at you. You need to sign that paper. Because she refused to sign that paper, the wedding was called off, and the man told her, everything is canceled. For 10 years, they were serious in getting married. And now, they don't see each other anymore. It has been a year. Now, ladies, I don't know how you would feel. Is that painful? Painful. But I'm amazed at this lady. She's faithful. She serves the Lord. She teaches in Sunday school. I've discovered something. Faith in God does not always mean you get what you want. Faith in God means you are willing to trust God for whatever He allows to happen in your life. And that's why, let's look at Habakkuk. When you don't understand what's happening to you, I suggest, let's look at how Habakkuk responded. When you don't understand, let's read Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1. I will stand on my guard post, station myself on the rampart. I will keep watch to see what He will speak to me, and how I may reply when I am reproved. Habakkuk is saying, I don't fully understand, but I will stand on my guard post. Now, you have to understand, in the Old Testament, they have watchtower. These are military objects. You climb up in order to see. You want to find out what's the latest news. You want to find out if the enemies are coming. So this is a description of somebody wanting eagerly to listen to what God has to say. Notice what he said. I will stand on my guard post, station myself on the rampart. I will keep watch to see what He will speak to me. Ladies and gentlemen, do you know how to wait on the Lord? To wait expectantly. That's the meaning. I want to wait expectantly. I want to see what God will tell me. Because right now, I really don't understand. Like this young lady, she does not understand why God is allowing her future to be seriously affected. But because of her faith, she will keep on trusting God, keep on serving God. I've discovered there are three different levels of faith for many people. Number one, for example, God can answer my prayer. Is that faith? Say that with me. God can answer my prayer. The next level, God not only can, God will answer my prayer. Is that faith? Say that with me. God will answer my prayer. The third level, not my will, but thine be done. Which is mature faith? The first, second, or the third? How many of you believe it is first? Raise your hand. How many of you believe it's second? Raise your hand. How many of you believe it's the third one? Praise God. You are grounded in theology. Some of you will never raise your hand. I know, no matter what. That's okay. Because you are learning. Until you reach that kind of understanding, not my will but thine, like the prayer of Jesus, you need to keep growing. Because for many of us, we want Jesus to be our servant. We want to use God to accomplish our purpose. God is like our servant. He's like our genie. We want Him to do what we want Him to do. But there will come a point in your life when you can only honestly say, because of your maturity, you say, Lord, not my will, but thine. You know why? Because honestly, you are trusting God. You are telling God, Lord, I know You are absolutely good. You are wiser. You know better than me. And I don't really know what is best for me. Not my will, but thine. Once you are able to pray that prayer sincerely, in every area of your life, you tell God, Lord, this is what I want, humanly speaking. But Father, not my will, but thine. Once you can pray that prayer, that means you are maturing. You have understood. You are trusting God. And that's what Habakkuk is learning. I'm going to watch. I'm going to find out. Now, can I tell you something about waiting? For me, the hardest thing to do is to wait. What about you? I know my friend is here. There's Bob. Hi, Bob. I have some friends from Malaysia. They are here in the States. Can I tell you something? For me, the hardest thing to do is to wait. What about you? You know, the Lord continues. From verses 2 onward, it is God speaking. no longer Habakkuk. So from Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 2 downward, it's God speaking. So let's learn to listen to what God is going to tell Habakkuk. Understand, Habakkuk was confused. But expectant faith means what? You're willing to trust God because of His character. And that's why he was waiting. He was waiting on God because Habakkuk said in chapter 1, you are good, you are holy. Therefore, I want to find out what's going on. Number 2, walking by faith means what? You are trusting on God's word. And that's what God was telling Habakkuk. Everybody, let's read. The Lord answered and said, record the vision. Inscribe it on tablets, that the one who reads it may run. Now, I don't know what your English translation, but this is probably the closest to the Hebrew translation. The idea is this. You write it down, so that those who read it will walk with it, will run with it, will proclaim it. Because when the Bible uses the term run, many times in the Old Testament, it says something like this. I will run with your commandments. The idea is this. I will not only listen to your commandments, I will embrace it and I will walk with it. I'm going to order my life based on your commandments. So that is the idea. So God is telling Habakkuk that the one who reads it may run. In other words, comply your life in accordance with what I'm saying. And then look at verse 3. The vision is yet for the appointed time. Say that with me, appointed time. God has an appointed time for each one of us. Whether you like it or not, God has an appointed time. And most of us don't understand this principle. For me, God is usually late. What about you? I'm learning to wait on the Lord because God's time is always the best. Say that with me. God's time is the best. But, continue reading. It hastens toward the goal. It will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it. It will certainly come. It will not delay. You see, God is saying there might be a delay. How many of you have prayers that God has not yet answered? Yes? Be honest. Now, what's your tendency? Give up? Surrender? You know, for many people, if you don't like what God is doing, you don't understand what's happening to you, and you have been praying, you give up. You say, no more. I will stop following the Lord. And that's the problem with many people. Because your faith is not growing. You have to realize sooner or later, you'll be disappointed. Remember, sooner or later, you'll experience trials. You'll experience problems. You'll experience people around you disappointing you. In fact, you can turn to your neighbor right now, like what you did last Sunday. Tell your neighbor one more time, you will disappoint me someday. That, my friend, is a statement of fact. I've been married to a wonderful woman of God, 36 years. She's almost perfect. But the truth is, I disappoint her, she disappoints me from time to time. But we love each other? Yes. Do we resolve our differences? Yes. Sooner or later, you'll be disappointed by people. But most people don't understand this principle. They think if I come to Jesus, there won't be any more problems. No more cancer. No more trials. Everybody in CCF are perfect people. They will never disappoint me. On the contrary, the moment you enter CCF, you are entering the zone of sinners. So everybody around you, you know what they are? In CCF, only what? Imperfect people allowed. No perfect people allowed. So you better check yourself, okay? If you are perfect, you are not allowed inside this place. You know why? Because in this place, only imperfect people are allowed. Now, in CCF, we are all sinners. And because we are sinners, we are going to disappoint each other. Now, what are you going to do? 2 days ago, I was watching Fox News. And I saw what happened to Madoff. Have you heard of Madoff? Well, this guy will go down in history as the one who was able to accomplish the biggest con game in the history of humanity. $50 billion. In a span of 40 years, he was able to trick people. It's called the Ponzi game. What's the Ponzi game? The Ponzi game is very simple. I guarantee you so much return in your investment. So you give me your money. I guarantee you every year so much percent. And how do I do it? Very simple. I get money from Tom. And then I'll use that money to pay Dick. Now I have to pay Tom. So I'll get money from Harry to pay Tom. So you go around and go around. Until it hit 50 billion U.S. dollars. I cannot even fathom $1 billion. This is $50 billion. But based on that story, what really struck me was this old couple. These are retirees. One of them is an eye doctor. The other one, the wife, I think, was a school teacher. Their entire life has changed. The doctor said, I was retired already. Now I have to go back to work. He's going back to work like in a merchandising store, like a doorkeeper. I mean, the life that was affected was severe. But I heard this from this older couple. You know what they said? But we refuse to be a victim. We refuse to have that mindset as a victim. Life has to continue. Wow. Did you hear what they are saying? I refuse to be a victim. Sooner or later, when trials hit you, there are only two possibilities. Possibility number one, you become bitter or you become better. Only two possibilities. You become a victim or you realize I can be a victor in this situation. You can become hard or you can become softer, more like Christ. Whatever problems, trials you will encounter, you have only two possibilities. You can become a better person or you can become a bitter person. You can grow in your faith or you can backslide and stumble in your faith. The choice is yours. And the only solution that I know that I can find from the Bible is to walk by faith. What is walking by faith? You believe that whatever is happening to you, God has allowed it. Because number one, God is perfectly good, the character of God. And number two, your faith is anchored on His Word. This is exactly what Habakkuk needed to learn. Anchored on God's Word. Now listen to me, everybody. Do you have faith? Yes or no? You know, people used to tell me, Pastor Peter, Peter, Brother Peter, I am new. I don't have faith. I don't have your faith. That is not true. I've discovered something about faith. Everybody has faith. Can I prove it to you? All right. Let me prove it to you. How many of you came tonight riding a car, a bus, a jeepney, and public transport? How many of you came riding a car, public jeepney, etc.? All right. How many of you have discovered to drive in this country, it takes faith? How many of you drank water? Did you drink water today? Why did you drink water? It's an act of faith. By drinking water, you are believing that the water is not poison. You are believing that the water is clean. You are believing that you will not get sick drinking that water. It is always an act of faith. In other words, you have faith. Have you taken airplanes? Yes or no? Now, tell me. When you took that airplane flight, just remember, did you know the pilot? Did you know the mechanics? Do you know who are the mechanics? Yet you took the airplane. You believe that the pilot will bring you from point A to point B. Why? You are exercising faith. What are you doing right now tonight? What are you doing? Sitting. Where are you sitting? In the chair. Why are you sitting on the chair? Because you have faith that the chair will hold you. It's not funny. Because I have an American guest years ago. He sat on one of our chairs, this modern chair. Modern chair, you know, this is the back and then curb. And he was leaning. He was so heavy. He fell backward. He bended the iron. And after that, I understood the meaning of faith. You know why? I told him, sit on the other chair. He refused. He was so heavy. He was a wrestler. So you know how he sat down? With his leg partly supporting his weight. You know why? He lost his faith. On the chair. Faith always has an object. You can never tell me you don't have faith. Faith is only as good as the object of your faith. Let me repeat. When people say, I lost my faith. You have faith all the time. When people say, I don't believe God will send somebody to hell. That is a statement of faith. He's believing that his God will not send people to hell. That is a statement of faith. When you say, I don't believe there is God, that is a statement of faith. Because you are saying you have been all over the universe and that you have inspected all the places of the universe and you have not seen God and you are concluding there is no God. That is a statement of faith. That is your faith. You see, all of us have faith. All of you, you have a belief system. Whether you like it or not, you are believing in something. My only question is this. What are you believing in? What is the object of your faith? Well, for us, it should be based on truth. God and His Word. And this is exactly what God was telling Habakkuk. You write this down. It's going to happen. Now, let me ask you, what's the object of your faith? Do you know what you believe in? Have you examined what you believe in? I'm reminded of the story of this lady. Somebody asked her, what do you believe in? What does your church believe in? You know what she answered? She said, I believe in what my church believes in. All right. What does your church believe in? My church believes in what I believe. Okay. What do you and your church believe in? We believe in the same thing. Man, I'm going to ask you now, what do you believe in? Faith must have an object. It is not faith in faith. If I ask people, what do you believe in? Basta, I believe. My American friends, basta means basta. I have faith. I believe. What do you believe in? Basta, I believe. Believe na believe ako. What do you believe in? Basta, I believe. These kind of people will not survive the test of time. Because when problems come, you are not able to process. Because you don't know what you believe in. And that's why I urge people, study the Bible. The Christian faith is unique. It is grounded on the certainty of the Word of God. And the Word of God is further proven by no other person than the historical Jesus Christ, who claimed to be God, the Son of God. He died and rose again from the dead. This is a historical event. It is not man-made. Jesus Christ lived. And a few weeks from now, we will celebrate the resurrection. Our faith is objective. It's historical. It is the truth. You compare all other religion. No comparison. So the Bible tells us the object of our faith is the Lord. Everybody, let's read this. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Expectant faith. Wait for the Lord. Because of who He is, His character. Wait for the Lord. You better find out His promises. Wait for the Lord. I love this. Everybody read this verse, please. Indeed, none of those who wait for Thee will be ashamed. Wait for the Lord. Trust Him. The object of our faith is very simple. Everybody, let's read this. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. He who comes to Him must believe that He is, that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. You cannot please Him without faith. So what is the object of our faith? God. What kind of God? A good God. You know why the Bible says, you must believe that He is. He exists. You must believe in God, not just God. He is a rewarder. Tell your neighbor, God is a rewarder. On what condition? To those who believe in Him, to those who seek Him. You know why? To wait on the Lord is to seek after the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, let me repeat. Do you have a good God? Is He a rewarder? But I don't know how He will reward you. I don't know when He will reward you. But one thing I do know. If you seek after God, if you wait upon Him, you will never be disappointed. You will never be ashamed. But don't put God in a box. Our problem is we don't wait long enough. How long did Abraham have to wait? When God promised Abraham, you will have a son. How long did he wait? Hello? Have you read the entire Bible? Remember, this is our 25th year. I'm telling you, you got to read the entire Bible every year. How long? Abraham had to wait. How many years? Who? Do you remember how many years? 25 years. 25 years. Now, of course, single. I'm not saying that if you ask for somebody, you have to wait for 25 years. But single, can I tell you something? When God does not answer your prayer, the reason is you are better off. single than getting married. As simple as that. Do you believe God knows what's best? Yes or no? You know, some people, they don't want to wait. I remember this young lady, she didn't want to wait. She was counseled by the leaders, by her area pastor, don't rush into this marriage. She went ahead and got married. After 2 months, she came to us. Can I cancel? Can I annul my marriage? My mistake has always been my inability to wait. I was talking to a senior pastor of one of the big church in America years ago. I asked him, what has God been teaching you? You know what he told me? He said, Peter, I'm learning. I got to learn to wait on the Lord. I said, what do you mean? He said, I got all my retirement funds. I withdrew all my money. And without waiting on the Lord, without consulting with God, I invested all my money with a member of my church who is a businessman. And he said, I lost all my money. The business just went down. And now I have to work again. Now this man was not bitter. He became a better person. He learned. But I'm reminded, I need to learn to wait on the Lord. How do you wait on the Lord? You trust His character. You study His word. Do you believe God speaks to us? Yes or no? Now, God spoke to Habakkuk. You know what God is telling Habakkuk? Are you ready to find out? Alright. On the context of this verse, God tells Habakkuk. Everybody, let's look at verse 4. Behold, as for the proud one, his soul is not right within him. The righteous will live by his faith. In the context of you wait, in the context of the appointed time is going to come, there might be delays. You may not fully understand. But Habakkuk, let me tell you something. The righteous man will live by faith. Say that with me. The righteous man will live by faith. One more time. The righteous man will live by faith. Now listen. The opposite of faith, the opposite of righteousness is what surprised me. Based on this Hebrew construction, the parallelism, the opposite of righteousness and faith is what? Pride. The opposite of faith is a proud person. You know why? A proud person do not have faith. A proud person believes in himself. He is self-reliant. And the Bible is saying, the righteous man shall live by faith. The opposite of a righteous man is a proud person who does not believe and depend on the Lord. You see, faith is dependence on the Lord. It is trusting God. So, he begins to describe a life without faith. You see, the Babylonians don't have faith. So he now characterized their lives. Characteristics of people living without faith. He mentioned 6 major sins. Number 1, everybody, pride. Number 2, covetousness. Number 3, domination, wanting to control. Number 4, violence. Number 5, debauchery. Number 6, idolatry. Let's go over one by one. For example, pride. If you don't live by faith, the repercussion, implication, you are a proud person. Characteristic of proud person, let's find out. Look at verse 5. Furthermore, wine betrays the haughty man so that he does not stay at home. He enlarges his appetite like Sheol. He's like death, never satisfied. The Bible is saying, a proud person, somebody who does not live by faith, has what? Has desire that can never be fulfilled. Look at what it's saying. He does not stay at home. He's always restless. He's always wanting more because you are not living by faith. Your appetite is never satisfied. As somebody was telling me just last week, Peter, he was a banker. He said the rich people have one problem, insatiable desire. Nothing is enough. They have already money. They want more money. And those who have lots of money, they want more money. You know why? Because if you are not walking by faith, you will never find your chief joy in the Lord. You will always be focusing on something else because you are always relying on yourself. You don't understand that the Christian life is lived by total dependence upon the Lord. People who don't have faith are covetous. They are greedy. They always want more. Woe to him who increases what is not his. In the book of Habakkuk, listen to me now, you have 5 woes. Woe. When the Bible says woe, you are really in big trouble. Tell your neighbor, whoa, whoa. The problem is this. God is describing the sins of the Babylonians, the proud people. Except for one problem. As you study the sins of the Babylonians, you will discover these are the same sins of the Jewish people. And if you want God to punish the Babylonians, implication, God will have to punish the Jewish people. And the next implication, you and I are equally guilty. Let's find out if we're guilty. Okay? Let's look at these sins. Before you just keep focusing on the sins of the Babylonians, just examine your own life. Covetousness. Are we covetous? Or is wanting more? You know why? Materialism will never satisfy. Because you are not just a human being with the flesh. You and I are a spiritual being. We were made for God. And you will never be satisfied until your soul is filled with the presence of the Lord. And you will not understand this until you discover, God, you are more than enough. So most people go through life always empty. Domination, control. Woe to him who gets evil gain for his house to build, to put his nest on high. Notice the picture. They always want to be number one. People who don't live by faith, they always want to be number one. They want recognition. They want to control people. You know why? They're insecure. If you have faith in the Lord, you are secure. You don't need to be on top because you know God is in charge. But people who don't walk by faith are insecure. They always want to control people. And that's why they get frustrated all the time. Violence. Woe to him who builds a city with bloodshed and founds it down with violence. The Babylonians are noted for violence. Now you can say, Peter, I'm not violent. Alright, you may not be violent. What about anger? You get angry? Yes or no? Now tell me, why do you get angry? Very simple. You and I get angry, according to psychologists, most of the time, is because your goal is blocked. When you want something, and your goal is blocked by other people, you get angry at these people. You know why? You're angry? Because you think they're blocking your goal. But if your faith is in God, and your goal is blocked, you won't be angry. You know why? You say, Lord, what I want is not happening now. Maybe you have a better plan. Maybe it's not my time. You see, you can relax. You don't have to say the end justifies the means. You don't have to go and rob, manipulate, kill people. Debauchery, sensuality. People who don't walk by faith give in to sensual pleasure. Woe to you who makes your neighbors drink, who mix in your venom even to make them drunk as to look on their nakedness. If you don't learn to be intimate with the Lord, and you are frustrated, you have problems, most people, they go to alcohol to relieve their tension. They go to pornography. They go to sensuality. They go to sex because you are looking for an outlet. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to understand, walking by faith means, Lord, I have a problem, but I will draw near to you. You help me. Idolatry. What is idolatry? Well, God tells these people, woe to him who says to a piece of wood, awake, to a dumb stone, arise. And that is your teacher? Now you can say, Peter, I don't pray to idols. How do you explain the verse in the book of Ezekiel? Remove the idols of your heart. Because idols, listen to me, idols are anything that takes the place of God in your life. Let me repeat, anything that you love more than the Lord is idolatry. That's your idol. Anything that will take the place of God as your confidence, your source of security, your source of joy, that becomes your idol. So an idol can be a boyfriend, it can be a girlfriend, it can be a business, it can be a position, it can be a ministry, it can be anything that will take the place of God. Don't say the Babylonians are guilty. Are we equally guilty? Yes or no? And God is saying, because of this sin, God tells Habakkuk, I will judge them. Now, did that happen? You know, did it happen? Yes or no? The Bible tells us, in 530 BC, the Babylonians were destroyed. And this is what happened in 530 BC. Remember, Daniel, Habakkuk, contemporaries. So Daniel spoke now to the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. Yet you, his son, Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart, even though you knew all of this. What all of this? He was reminding Belshazzar that your father, the emperor, the king of Babylon, was so proud that God made him like a cow. He began eating grass until he would wake up and realize, oh boy, Lord, I've sinned against you. You see, God was showing mercy to Babylon. God was telling these people, you knew all of this, but you have not humbled your heart, even though you know all of this. You see, when judgment is delayed, when sinners are allowing, if God is allowing sinners to prosper, it is because God is merciful. He is giving people a chance to repent. But the problem is this, they did not repent. Look at the next verse. Everybody read. But you, in spite of knowing all of this, you have exalted yourself. In Tagalog, mayabs. Tell your neighbor, mayabs ka ba? Ask them, mayabs ka ba? Mayabang ka ba? You have exalted yourself against the Lord of heaven. Everybody, please read with me. They have brought the vessels of his house before you. You and your nobles, your wives and your concubines have been drinking wine from them. You have praised the gods of silver and gold, of bronze, iron, wood, stone, which do not see, hear, or understand, but the God in whose hand are your life breath, and your ways you have not glorified. You know, sometimes we have a tendency to get the glory for ourselves. And believe it or not, Babylon, as a world power, has the shortest period of time, only 70 years. The empire that took over was the Medo-Persian Empire. The Medo-Persian Empire lasted for 200 years. The next empire was the Greek Empire. It lasted longer than the Babylonian Empire. The next empire was the Roman Empire. But Babylon had the shortest empire. Only 70 years. You know why? God is telling Habakkuk, I know what I am doing. Even though, look at this verse, everybody, let's read this. The vision is yet for the appointed time. It hastens toward the goal. It will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it. It will certainly come. It will not delay. In English, first in Tagalog. You know what God is telling Habakkuk? If you see all of the wickedness prospering, you want to have my translation in Tagalog? All right, this is the translation. May araw din sila. According to Clint Eastwood, make my day. That's what God is saying. Relax. Judgment will come. Not if, it is when. God is holy. He judged the Babylonians. Did he judge the Jewish people? Yes. In 586 BC, Judah was destroyed. Jerusalem was destroyed. If God judged the Jewish people, if God judged the Babylonians, will he judge us today? Yes or no? How do you escape the judgment of God? And that's where the verse comes in. As for the proud one, his soul is not right. But the righteous will live by his faith. What does that mean? To escape the judgment of God, you have to understand the meaning of living by faith. And God gave Habakkuk two important, enlightening, inspiring truths. One, Habakkuk 2:14. God tells Habakkuk, the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. God is telling Habakkuk, when I will perform my judgment, someday the whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. What does that mean? The Bible tells us, one day, the whole earth will know about the Lord. They will know about the glory of the Lord. What is the glory of the Lord? The glory of the Lord is the righteousness of God, His holiness. God will judge sin. Today, the whole world do not see nor understand the glory of God. Yes or no? But it will come. This is a promise to be fulfilled. It will come. Not yet. Can I tell you my scenario, how this will happen? God tells us someday, the whole world will surround Jerusalem again. All the countries around the Middle East and all the northern power, remember I shared this with you, from Russia down, as they plan to attack the Holy Land, there will be a supernatural intervention. that the whole world will get shocked. And the whole world will realize the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob is the God, is the King of Kings. And none other than Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, will come down again and He will judge and He will rule again. And the Bible tells us when Jesus comes again, He will step right on the mountain in Jerusalem. And those of you who are coming with us, I will show you where it's going to happen. And the Bible says Jerusalem will be split in two. You know why? The whole world will know. Not now, someday. The Bible says every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Is that happening today? Not yet. So, when God will judge sinners, listen to me. When God will move in history, it's not about you, it's not about me. Ultimately, it's about the glory of God. Everything is moving toward an end point. And that end point is all about the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Every knee will bow that Jesus is the King of Kings. Ladies and gentlemen, is Jesus your Lord? Now, how do you escape the coming judgment? Well, before I tell you how, he gave Habakkuk another amazing verse. The last verse of Habakkuk chapter 2. What a comforting verse. And this is exactly what he tells Habakkuk. Everybody, please read. The Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before Him. What is God reminding Habakkuk? You want the Tagalog version again? Bata, relax lang. Relax lang. I am in charge. That's the meaning. The Lord is in His holy temple. Don't worry about the chaos, the violence, all the sin that you are watching now. Don't worry. Judgment day will come. And how will that happen? At the right time, it will happen. You know why? The Lord is in His holy temple. Let the whole earth be silent before Him. So it will surely come. Ladies and gentlemen, the choice is yours. To live by faith or not to live by faith. To live by faith means your life will be changed. Can I share with you how that word is used in the Bible? The righteous shall live by faith. All right? Let's see how that word is used. Let's look at Romans chapter 1, verse 16, 17. Everybody, let's read. So I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, to the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. The righteous man shall live by faith. Everybody, say that with me. The righteous man shall live by faith. This is the exact quotation from the book of Habakkuk. The righteous shall live by faith. So, what in the world is the meaning? The righteous shall live by faith. Let us now see this from the New Testament perspective. A wider, bigger revelation from God. This is the meaning. I am not ashamed of the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel means evangelio, good news. Say that with me. Evangelio. Good news. What is the good news? I'm not ashamed of the good news. What is the good news? Do you know the good news? Some of you are looking at me as if it's the first time you heard of that word good news. Whatever you do, you make sure you go through class 101. You go through class 201, understand? You go through Biblical Foundation 1, 2, and 3 in CCF. That's the only thing we process, understand? When you come here on Sunday, praise God. You want to grow, you go through those discipleship classes. 101, 201, 301, BF Foundation 1, Bible Study Foundation 2. Make sure you are part of a small group and you go over this, okay? Because that is how you grow. You don't grow just by sitting here. You need to study the Bible. And we have designed Bible studies for the whole group. So our fellowship is very simple. Our church, our movement is so simple. You come on Sunday. From Monday to Saturday, you attend these classes, these small groups. They are trained to make you grow, to know the Bible. So what is the gospel? The word gospel means good news. What is the good news? Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And He was buried. On the third day, He rose again. Why is that good news? The resurrection of Christ proved beyond doubt, proves beyond doubt that He is the Son of God, the Messiah. And that's the good news. He died and rose again. Is that good news? Yes or no? It's good news. Because He died for your sins. So the Bible tells us, one more time now, Romans 1:16, I am not what? Ashamed of the gospel. Why? It is, notice the pronoun, it refers to what? The gospel, it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. Notice, it is the power of God to save us. Salvation. Save us from what? Save us from hell. Save us from damnation. You know, some people, they make statement of faith. I don't believe in hell. Well, that's your faith. Praise God. What if there is hell? Oh. Understand my point? You don't believe in hell? I respect you. I will never force anybody to believe what the Bible says. But I ask them one simple question. What if hell is real? What are you going to do about it? Go to this verse. I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation to what? To everyone who believes. So do you believe that Jesus died for you? Yes or no? You believe He rose again from the dead for your in your behalf? Yes or no? If you believe, the Bible says you are saved. But you must claim it by faith. Look at 1:17. In it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Meaning, you are saved by faith. You continue living by faith. Why? The righteous man shall live by faith. In order to understand this, there was a famous Englishman by the name of Lord Covington. Now, Lord Covington lived in Dublin. And he wanted to teach people the meaning of faith. So he issued an announcement. To all of those who owe me money, this was years ago, okay? If you owe me money, you cannot pay your rent, you cannot pay your farm, you see me on this date, before 12 o'clock, you come to me and I will cancel your debt. Well, that date came and people gathered together outside his office, but none of them would enter his office except for one poor peasant guy. He was late, he ran. He looked at the watch. It's almost 12. It's not yet 12. So he went in. And he said, "Sir, I'm here to collect my receipt." Then Lord Covington looked at him. "You came here for me to cancel your debt?" "Yes, sir." "You believe me?" And then that man said, "Sir, I believe you. I don't believe you will deceive people. I believe you." And then Lord Covington said, "Are you industrious? Are you hardworking?" "Sir, that is not part of the announcement." Then Lord Covington said, "Give me your bill. How much you owe us?" He got the bill and he put a stamp, "Fully paid." And this man got that receipt. He ran out of his office jumping, telling everybody, "I am a free man. I am a free man." The rest of the people wanted to go in. It's too late. Because the deal, the announcement says 12 o'clock. Now, many of you are like those people. You know about Jesus. You know the offer of Jesus. But you have never claimed it by faith. You see, faith means what? You go to Him. You say, "Lord Jesus, I want to claim your promise. You died on the cross in my place. By faith, I will accept your forgiveness. By faith, I will accept your pardon. I want to claim your promise." Have you ever done that? That's the meaning. Let's read that one more time. Romans 1:17. The righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. It is written, the righteous man shall live by what? By faith. That's the meaning. If you want to escape the judgment, coming judgment, you come to Jesus. If you come to Him by faith, this is what the Bible promised. Everybody? No one, please read, no one is justified by the law before God is evident. The righteous man shall live by faith. The Bible says you are declared not guilty, not because you obey the law. It's because you have put your faith in Jesus. It's by faith. You believe in the promises of God. Now, once you put your faith in Jesus, your life will never be the same. You know why? Once you understand faith, once you understand grace, you will not want to keep on sinning. Why? That is the amazing thing about salvation. When God saves you, He will save you even from that desire. You begin to resist. You begin to fight sin. Because the Bible says the righteous man shall live by what? Faith. Your life will change. It's all about grace and faith. Peter, how do I have this faith? Very simple. The Bible says, faith, everybody read, faith comes from hearing. And hearing by the word of Christ. You see, your faith is anchored on the promise of God, what He says, not how you feel. So faith is not dependent on your feeling. It's dependent on the promises of God. Are you prepared to claim the promise of God? The meaning of faith to faith means you come to Jesus by faith, you continue to live your life by faith. You are to live your life from beginning to end by faith. Meaning, you have to surrender all your failures, all your bad decisions, all your wrong judgments. You must surrender them to the Lord. You say, Lord Jesus, I blew it. I made mistakes in my life. I will surrender to you by faith. I will trust you to make something bad into something good because I'm surrendering everything. I'm going to live by faith. To live by faith means you believe that not only that Jesus died for you, that He loves you and He has the best plan for your life. Yes or no? Are you prepared to live by faith? Some of you are willing to believe in Jesus as your Savior, but you are not willing to surrender your entire future to Him. You are afraid to surrender your failures, your problems. You know why? You are thinking, I'm so bad. I've made big mistakes. It's too late. It's never too late. You come to the cross. You come to Jesus. Because the Bible tells us, the righteous man shall live by faith. Faith in what? Not in yourself. Faith in the goodness of God. That He died for you on the cross. He rose again from the dead. And that's why I tell people, you see that cross? I am not ashamed of the gospel of God. People have asked me, why do we have the cross here? It's old-fashioned. I don't care. It may be old-fashioned. But on that cross, Jesus took my place. On that cross, my sins were paid for by Jesus on that cross. Put your faith in Jesus. Trust Him. Have you done it? Let's bow our heads and pray. If you have never surrendered your life to Jesus, there is no peace. You don't have rest. You are always restless. You are anxious. I want you to transfer your faith. Transfer your faith from your religion, from yourself, from your good works to Jesus. Transfer your faith from people to Jesus. You tell Him tonight something like this. Lord Jesus, I realize You died on the cross in my behalf. I realize, Lord Jesus, You want us to believe You. You want us to trust You. We are to live by faith. We are to trust You. And Jesus, tonight, I will entrust to You the salvation of my soul. I will entrust to You my future. Because You died on the cross and You rose again from the dead. I will claim Your promise of forgiveness. I will claim Your promise of eternal life. By faith, Lord Jesus, I place my confidence in Your promises, in Your word. And Lord Jesus, will You help change my life so that my life will be a life of faith, that I will give glory and honor to Your name. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen.